ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
अथ पृच्छामि संसिद्धिं योगिनां परमं गुरुं पुरुषस्येह यत्कार्यं म्रियमाणस्य सर्वथा. This is Parikshit Maharaj speaking to Shukadev. No photographs, please, during the class. Open your ears and cell phones off, please. This verse, this statement of Parikshit to Shukadev, it reifies a commonly quoted verse. Reifies means gives practical shape to. That verse is Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya utamam shabde pare chanishnatam brahmanyupashamashrayam. One should therefore approach a spiritual master. Therefore means when one realizes that there's nothing of any value in this world, one should submit oneself to a spiritual master and inquire about the topmost benefit. Qualities of the spiritual master are briefly and essentially described as follows: that he is fully absorbed in the transcendental sound, in other words, the transcendental instruction of the Vedas, and has taken full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead via the parampara system. So in this verse, Parikshit says that you, Shukadev, are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. So he fits the qualification of being the guru. And Parikshit is asking Shukadev to explain Sangsiddhim, the way of perfection, the highest perfection. So briefly, in these two verses, one we've read today and another I've quoted, the qualifications of the guru are given, and those qualifications are given in more detail elsewhere in Shastra. For instance, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Kripa Sindhu Susampurna Sarva Satvopakaraha Nishpriha Sarvata Siddha Sarva Vidya Visharadaha Sarva Sanchaya Sancheta Analaso Gurur. A bit difficult to read because it's printed in the wrong font. Analaso Gurur Ahata. So this means that the Guru is the ocean of mercy, which of course is the that usually is said about Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, which means that Krishna is the ocean of mercy. But that applies to the Guru as the representative of Krishna. So that's the symptom, is that it's very merciful, wants to give the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes it's misunderstood that a merciful Guru is one who lets the disciple do whatever he likes, and then just somehow or other gives the disciple a blessing. But rather, the guru trains the disciple in a mode of service to Krishna. The example is given, the guru is like a cloud who evaporates water from the ocean of mercy, who is Krishna, and rains that mercy. Sangsara dava nalalidha loka charnaya karanya ghana ghanatva praptasya kalyana gunarna vasya vande guru shi charnaravinda. This analogy which I spoke, we sing every morning in Sri Gauravashtakam. So the guru is prepared to give mercy everywhere. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he preached to so many people, but not everyone accepted his message. And those who did so to varying degrees. So one has to be ready to accept the mercy in the form of instruction. As Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport in the beginning of the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in that section which the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with a discussion of the mercy of the gurus. Srila Prabhupada writes that the spiritual master trains the disciple in an attitude of service to Krishna. So one has to be prepared to be corrected. If you think, well, I already know so much, I already read all the books, I'm just as learned as my guru, you may think. The disciple theoretically could, maybe even practically sometime, can become more learned than the guru. But dhane jane panditye krishnere nahi pai keval bhakti bhas chaitanya goshai. But it's not by wealth or position, having many followers, or by scholarship that one can attain Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they submit themselves to the pure devotion of a pure devotee. In materialistic consciousness, no one likes to be corrected. One will always seek to show, no, I'm right. This attitude, if one brings into the relationship with the guru, means there's no relationship. The position of the disciple is to be corrected by the guru. So if the guru says something, immediately the disciple says, no, that's not, I have it. Immediately some excuse or some counter-reply, contradiction. I'm actually right, but you don't understand. This is the implication. It may even be that theoretically the disciple is right and the guru has misunderstood. But on principle, the disciple should accept that, yes, it is my guru's duty to correct me, and it is my duty to accept that I need to be corrected. Even the particular point about which the disciple is being corrected, that may not be so important. But just the guru may correct just to instill in the disciple the consciousness that you need to improve. So I'll just go through briefly because there are so many points to discuss. Kripa Sindhu Susampurna, the guru is full in all good qualities and fully satisfied in himself. Atma Rama, it means fully satisfied in himself. He doesn't seek satisfaction in sense gratification, nor in collecting disciples to show I'm a very big guru. He accepts disciples as a service to his guru. That is the proper offering of dakshina, or the requisite fees to a guru by a disciple. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, dakshina jnana sandeshaha. Dakshina, the offering to the guru, should be that one should instruct others in the knowledge that one has received from the guru. Then sarva-sattva-paharaka. That he works for the benefit of all. Even though he's fully satisfied in himself, he wants to see that others also can be benefited. Nispriha, he is free from personal desires. His desire is to see others benefited. Sarvata Siddhaha, who is fulfilled in all respects. He's perfect, I guess you could say. But perfect is maybe not the best word here, but fulfilled in all respects. Mm. But anyway, you translate it as you can. That doesn't mean that, for instance, he's, in all respects, doesn't mean he's perfect in, for instance, skateboarding or surfing, because these are not, that is perfection in foolishness. So what is the point of that? But he knows how to please Krishna. And he imparts that knowledge to others. Similarly, the next line, sarva vidya visharada, he's expert in all kinds of knowledge. It doesn't mean that he's automatically an engineer, a chemist, a linguist, but that he knows that knowledge, the essential knowledge, adhyatma jnana, the spiritual knowledge. And therefore, the next line, sarva sangshaya sangcheta. Therefore, he's able to cut all doubts. Analaso gurur ahritaha. Thus, the guru is described, one more quality, not lazy. is active in Krishna's service. Bhakti means activity in Krishna's service. So another verse describing the qualities of a bona fide guru, a well-known verse which appears as the first of the 11 verses of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udaro pasto vegam etan vegam yo vishaheta dhira sarvamapi mam prithivin sashishyat. One who has controlled the six urges is qualified to make disciples all over the world. These are the urges to gossip or to talk about all kinds of different topics. The propensity of the mind to speculate and bounce around all over the universe. The urge to become angry. As Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to this verse, this doesn't mean that one may not in any circumstances become angry. But krodha bhakta dveshi jane. Anger should be exhibited to persons who are inimical to devotees. Srila Prabhupada personally described himself as having a hot temper. But that temper was utilized in preaching Krishna consciousness and correcting his disciples. So jiva vegam, the urge of the tongue. The urge of the tongue is to speak, which is included in vacho vegam, and to enjoy all kinds of different flavors. If we even just mention the names of all kinds of flavorsome foods, such as strawberry ice cream, and so on, we can go on. And the saliva will come to the tongue, and desire will come in the mind. Yes, this is what I want. This is the perfection of life, to be accidentally locked in an ice cream shop at night, so I can pack my stomach with all different flavors. Yeah, a pure devotee doesn't cultivate such desires. Jiva vega udara, then the desire of the tongue to taste is complemented by the stomach to be full. Let me pack it full. What does full mean? There's always room for something more. The stomach is stretchable. There's room for more and more and more. And then when the stomach is full, there is pressure on the genital and desire to enjoy by joining the genital to another genital. One who is free from or who has controlled these urges is fit to be a guru. Because a guru has to teach disciples to control the senses. One cannot make proper spiritual advancement unless the senses are controlled. So the guru himself should have controlled senses. It's not such an ordinary thing, but it is required. And Rupa Goswami includes this as the first verse in Upadeshamrita. Who is an acharya? This term has a particular meaning, acharya. That is described in the Vayu Purana. Achinoti yashastrartham achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyastena kirtitaha. One who knows the purpose and the meaning of Shastra and who behaves accordingly, who not only behaves according to Shastra but teaches others to behave according to Shastra, and who is thus teaches by example, such a person is known as an acharya. The famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, actually there are so many famous verses from Bhagavad Gita. As I said yesterday, Srila Prabhupada, he had a pool of verses which he would say many of the verses. He spoke again and again and again. So, yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat evetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever actions are performed by a great person, the common men, they follow. And whatever standards he sets, that will be accepted as standard by others. So the Acharya means he should know what are the standards as given in Shastra. In Shastra and in tradition, parampara, and acts accordingly, teaches his disciples accordingly. Commenting on this, Srila Prabhupada says that one cannot teach others to stop smoking if oneself smokes. That will be seen as hypocrisy. Oh, you want to enjoy it, but you don't want me to enjoy it. No, I'll enjoy it too. But a self-realized person understands that there is no enjoyment in this material world and acts on that platform. Yesterday I also quoted that apaneina koile dharma shikhan ajai from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that unless one personally observes the tenets of dharma, then one cannot teach others. Sanatan Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, apane achare kahe na kare pracha, pracha kare keho na kare acha. Acha pracha namer karaha dui karj, tumi sharva guru tumi jagater arj. Sanatan Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, you are sarva guru, you are the guru of everyone. You're the best, most civilized person in the world. Why is that? Well, Haridas Thakur chanted 3 times 64 rounds every day. But that's not the only reason. Sanatana Goswami said that some people, they follow the practices of devotional service very well themselves, but they don't preach to others. And some preach about what you should do, but they don't follow themselves. But Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur that you do both. You practice very ideally, and you teach others to do so also, particularly in relation to the holy name. Haridas Thakur is known as Nama Acharya. He is the guru, especially in the matter of chanting the holy names. That is his specialty. Rupa Goswami is known as Rasa Acharya. He revealed the transcendental rasa. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is known as Smriti Acharya. He gave the rules and regulations to be followed. So in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certain devotees, they specialized in certain areas in establishing the Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And nowadays the acharyas, they mostly, rather than specializing, they take the essence of which all our previous acharyas have given, and they give that to their disciples. So one should practice and preach. If one simply preaches but himself is not of ideal character or good behavior, then he's not properly qualified to be a guru. Or one may be very nicely following, but if he doesn't have a motive to try to benefit others, then he may be called a very good devotee, but not an acharya. In the Manu Sanghita is stated, Upaniya tu yah shisham veda madhyapayedvijaha sankalpang sarahasyam cha tang acharyam prachakshate. Again, it's giving the definition of an acharya, given in various ways. Still today, in some Brahmin families, nominally Brahmin families, they have their acharya who will invest the boys and the Brahmin families with a Brahminical thread. But this verse, just quoted from Manu, says that the acharya not only puts a thread on the boy's body, but trains him also. He trains them how to perform Vedic sacrifices and in the confidential meaning of the Vedas. So in this way, the acharya, he teaches in the same way that Krishna does. As Srila Prabhupada states in the last sentence of the verse previous to the one that we just read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes, to get the assistance and help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord himself. In this regard, Krishna states, and it's another well-known verse, especially those of you who will be acharyas formally, you should study all these verses so that you can teach them to others. So the well-known verse, Acharyang mang vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta Sarvadeva Mayo Guruhu. Krishna says that one should know the Acharya to be as good as myself. The literal translation of the Sanskrit is that one should know very well that the Acharya is me. One should never disrespect him. One should not be envious of him, thinking, well, he's just another person like us, subject to birth, death, old age and disease. So we may think, well, Guru, he's not God. That's what he teaches us, that we are not God. Then how can he be God? But this should be understood very carefully. Sakshad dharitvena samasta shastraya ruktastatha bhavyata eva sadbi kintu prabhoyav priya eva tasya vande guru shri charana arvindam. The Guru has the status of God. That is the conclusion of all the scriptures. But at the same time, is understood to be not directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but his very dear servitor. So even though it may seem that the Guru is subject to birth, death, old age and disease, we should know that he is Krishna Lingita Swarup, one who is embraced by Krishna. Well, we may think that he... We may think, well, this is some kind of religious cheating is going on here. Definitely it's proved that religion is the opium of the people. Because here's someone who is calling himself a guru, namely myself, telling you all that the guru should be respected as good as God. But that is the duty of the guru, to teach the Vedic knowledge. The disciple cannot absorb the Vedic knowledge unless he has this attitude toward the guru. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated, that in the course of explaining the Bhagavatam, when the Guru comes across this verse, Acharyam Maam Vijaniyam, one should know the Guru as good as myself, what should the Guru do? Should he not teach that? Would it be more humble of him not to teach that? Well, that would be a case of misplaced humility if one thought that, well, I'm not going to teach this part of scripture. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur somewhat facetiously said that what should the Guru do? Should he, instead of teaching this verse, should he tell the disciples that you should give your Guru a few strokes of the horsewhip? So that is the Vaishnava culture, the whole Vedic culture, that one has to accept a Guru for spiritual uplift. Even for material uplift, just like Bali Maharaj accepted Shukracharya, Shukra as his guru for material uplift. So we don't recommend accepting a guru for material uplift. Bali did that as a kind of show because he was in the position of being king of the demons. But meanwhile, he took a spiritual instruction from his spiritual guru, Prahlad Maharaj. So this is the spiritual culture that one should accept a guru. As I'd stated, the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita focuses on this topic of guru. And indeed, the very first words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are Vande Gurum, I offer respect to my gurus. Later in that first chapter, the subject is more described. Jodopi ama guru Chaitanya Dash Tatapi Janaye Taha. Tatapi Janaye Ami Taha Prakash. Although I know that my guru, he's not exactly directly God himself. I know that. I know that he's a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jodopi ama guru Chaitanya Das. Even though I know he's the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still, Janaye Ami Taha Prakash. But I also know that he is a manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The next verse that follows in that first chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is as follows. Guru Krishna Rupa Han Shastra Pramane Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Karin Bhaktagone. Krishna manifests, the Shastras describe that Krishna manifests himself in the form of the Guru. Krishna, he wants to be merciful to his devotees. He manifests his mercy through the medium of the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
So this explains how the Guru is as good as God, not exactly God himself, not God himself, but as good as, in as much as he conveys the mercy of the Supreme Lord to the disciples. Then in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it gets into some details in describing these points. You should study all this very carefully. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Shiksha Guru Keta Jani Krishna Shurup Antarjami Bhakta Shrishta Edui Rup. He says that I know the Guru who gives instruction to be Krishna, the very form of Krishna, and manifests himself in two forms. The Guru who manifests himself within the heart, the indweller, and the best of devotees, high level devotee. Jiva shakat nahit tate guru chaita rupe shikha guru hoi krishna mahanta surupe. But it's very difficult to contact the antarjami, or we may be misled by our mind in thinking that what we're hearing is the instructions of Krishna. So therefore the guru appears in person as the one who gives us instructions, shiksha guru, in the form of a devotee, elevated devotee. And in this regard, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, a statement of Uddhava, who was directly instructed by Krishna. So it's said that the Guru is representative of Krishna, but in this case, as with Arjuna, Krishna directly instructed Uddhava. Naivo payatyantya pachiting kavayastaveshab Brahmayushapi kritang ridha muda smarantaha yontarbahistanupritang ashubham vidhunvan acharya chaitya vapusha swagating vyanati. So Srila Prabhupada's translation in English is very beautiful. I don't know if that will come over in the Russian translation exactly, but the Sanskrit is beautiful. The English translation is very beautiful. So Srila Prabhupada renders this in English as follows. Well, it won't be in Russian, will it? So I'll say it in English anyway. Oh my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science cannot fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they had the lifetime of Brahma, for you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the conditioned souls by revealing to them your devotional service and teaching them how to approach you on the path of pure love. I'll say that again. Oh my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science cannot fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they had the lifetime of Brahma. Can you imagine that? If someone has done something very kind to you, you want to thank them. But you thank them and you go on thanking them. What would someone have to do for you for you to just go on thanking them again and again and again? But Uddhava said that even if someone went on thanking the Supreme Lord for the length of time that Brahma lives, still he couldn't fully express the kind of gratefulness that is needed. So what is it that Krishna does that is so invocative of gratefulness? Because he appears externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul. And via these two mediums, the Supreme Lord delivers the conditioned souls by revealing to them devotional service and teaching them how to approach Krishna on the path of pure love. So these are all very deep topics that should be meditated upon very seriously. Again, it may seem strange that I am saying this, but then again, it's my duty to say this. And notwithstanding my own many manifest disqualifications, but that my qualification to instruct others is that I follow Srila Prabhupada to the best of my ability. And Srila Prabhupada's great qualification is that he follows his guru. So disciple means to be a follower, And guru means to be a follower. Everyone is a follower. The only real leader is Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arshabhritya. The only real leader or controller is Krishna. And all others are his servants. The guru teaches this, and therefore he's a guru. What is his qualification to be a guru? He teaches others to be a servant of Krishna, and he himself is fixed in service to Krishna. It's a simple principle to understand, although it may be a little difficult for us to accept, of course, because of our conditioning. Especially in cultures which are non-Vedic, the idea of submitting oneself to someone else may seem to be horrible, but that is, of course, central to Vedic culture. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring in this Vedic culture in all aspects, which will help us to cultivate Krishna consciousness in the best possible way. Okay, I'll finish there for now. Shortly there'll be an initiation ceremony beginning, which is why I spoke on this topic in particular today. Of course, there are many, many topics to be discussed in relationship to gurus and disciples. Some of these topics will be discussed later. Just some practical point now. There seem to be... I was given a list of names of those who are to take initiation, but I only got beads. There were seven names, but I only got beads from... I only got five strands of beads. So if those two devotees who are supposed to be initiated, but who didn't give the beads yet, if they're here... Five, okay. We went from seven to five.
Sure.
All right, that's clear then. Those who are to be initiated today, they should fast until the initiation ceremony is over. And males should have their head shaved, retaining a shika. Hare Krishna.